Welcome to Tiger Pops Podcast, a place to dissect, analyze, and swoon over the webtoon Midnight Poppyland. Every week, we'll go through another episode and break down character development, relationship regression, plot, symbolism, body language, and more. And of course, we'll be bringing out those tinfoil hats for some theory time. Every week, we'll be joined by sharp-witted, detail-obsessed, and dare I say, thirsty fans ready to tackle the latest gem. Let the analysis begin.
I want to let you know about a treat we have for this episode and most upcoming episodes. You can now view the video recording of this episode on the Tiger Pops YouTube channel. So if you want to watch the host's faces as we discuss the episode, you can head over to YouTube and search for Tiger Pops Podcast to enjoy. See you there!
Okay, hi everybody. Welcome to episode 54 of Tiger Pops. And today we are with Emery, Kelly, and Victoria. And we're going to introduce ourselves in a special way today.
Right, hi everyone, this is Violeta, also known as Emery de Langrid in Patreon and Instagram. I'm a Scorpio. My favorite colors are green and blue. I'm a medical technologist, married, and a cat mom.
I'm Kay. I'm an Aquarius. My favorite color is purple. I am a cat and a dog mom.
Hey, I'm Mindy. I'm a Cancer. My favorite color is teal, and I don't hold by astrology.
Hello, everyone. My name is Victoria, or Victoria CC if you see me like online. I am an Aquarius also. So Kay, I feel like we may have some birthday synergy going on, right? My favorite color is turquoise. So kind of the same path with you, Mindy, on the teals. And I actually am married. I have a 3-year-old and I work professionally in HR. Super happy to be here.
Thank you guys so much. And, you know, as the world knows, or the people who listen to the podcast regularly know, you guys are all new. So this is exciting to have some fresh insight and perspectives that hopefully we haven't seen before.
So, yeah, very new.
Yeah.
Uncomfortably new.
Fine.
Thank you. I hope this will be a fun fangirling experience and not like a stressful, nerve-wracking experience.
I mean, I apologize beforehand because I get too excited and, you know, the cursing starts, so.
No such thing as too excited, really. Also, we're like with the biggest cursor ever, like Torah, so it's in the comments. Like,
yes.
I started cursing more because of him, like, seriously.
It's contagious.
It is.
All want to be like Torah after all.
Yes.
That's funny. I'm just glad that it wasn't a super stressful episode. I know we all kind of got together initially to like sign up. We're like, oh my God, who knows what's going to be happening at that point. And like after reading it, I'm like, oh, thank God. So now I can actually happen to be like cool about it. So I'm just like, yeah, let's do it. I'm good.
We're being eased in with a nice, easy episode.
Yes. You know. Yes. With some laughing in there. Yeah. And feel like a good time. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like which episode would have scared you?
Well, so far, nothing, but we were just worried, like, you know, obviously each week Lily does a really great job with surprising us in some way. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, everything's too peaceful. Something crazy is going to happen. And so it's like that looming feeling in the background, like cue the drama, cue the panic, like something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, like, oh, okay. That was perfectly fine. Like that was great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Well, yes, basically, right. It's kind of like the ebb and flow. Its story is calm, and then the storm of the calm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, so now we're at the calm, although the club that they're in is not calm, at least in terms, I guess it's normal for a club, right? But compared to the rest of the settings they've been in, it's very loud. So, yeah, so getting to the panels, you know, we see Tora, basically, this is a little bit of last episode. He is staring at Poppy and admiring her beautiful dress, and we're at her beautiful self in her beautiful dress. And now we see, of course, Poppy is like slipping and she's grabbing onto Erdene and wobbling because of obviously the high heels that our dear Quintess advised her to wear. And you know, Erdene's like, oh, how did Quincy always know I wanted a busty little thing gone to me for her dear life? Which I thought was interesting because I know we've some people have discussed, like, is Erdene lesbian? Is Erdene bi? So this was, or is Erdene just like the kind of person who says, you know, very sexual things, which that's kind of my opinion.
That's kind of my opinion too. I didn't take it any type of way. I know I've made similar comments with my friends. It's just, it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. So I didn't be any type of declaration.
Same here. I've been a poppy in this scenario several times in my life where I am regretting the shoes I'm wearing hardcore, and I'm like stumbling / someone hold my shoes, hold me, where's their seat? So I've been there and I get it. I totally get it. Oh, and this is the first time, I know if anyone read the episode when it first, last week's episode, the dress is updated in the panels. So it's like now she looks super hot and awesome and all the details are there. So that's exciting too.
Right.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's a kind of dress that I will definitely wear. I have big boobs, so, and you know, it's about Erdene, me and my husband, we sexualize everything. So it's just like, it's something I will definitely say.
I think the first dress felt more poppy to me. Like, it was cute, it was flirty, but it wasn't, you know, really wasn't revealing at all. And then the update feels more like, okay, we get why Tora is staring. We know why he's kind of following her around the club like a lap dog.
Yeah.
So I actually enjoyed the update.
Same.
Yeah, it's cute. It's
looking beautiful either way. Yeah. And, you know, she's like, leave my bust out of this. And meanwhile, we have this frame again of Tora just staring at her. And like you said, with the like a lap dog, I mean, someone else said also like a puppy dog the entire time. And I think that's so accurate. He just can't stop like staring at her. And, you know, well, we'll see as he keeps going, right? The next panel, he's turns away, right, ostensibly to like be like, okay, oh my god, like stop staring at her, but like he looks pretty tense in that panel and a little moody that, you know, she's not paying attention to him.
Yeah,
which is hilarious given that she's so concerned with the fact that, I shouldn't even say concerned, but so very conscious of the fact that everyone's everyone wants Tora's attention, and all he wants is her attention, and she's not giving him the time of day. And I don't even think it's on purpose. I think it's just she's so convinced that he's not interested. How, I don't know, but that she's not even entertaining the thought, and she's kind of just content to stand there by herself and drink her drink. I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun, aren't I? I'm like panel ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I think that's like a big, big issue for this, and like, you know, right, everyone is like, why, a lot of people were upset at Poppy, like, why is she not talking to him? I didn't get that. I was like, he just ignored her all week. Like, of course she's feels, besides for what she said to Erdene, where like she said, oh, you know, like he doesn't, that kind of guy never is interested in me, right. And what she said before, and I don't get how Poppy can even think that, because he's like kissed her and like but whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like he also ignored her this whole past week. Like, I would be nervous and not approach him either if I was her.
Well, I don't think that he's ignoring her. I think he understands she's in her professional environment, and he's giving her, you know, the space for her to be professional with Quincy. I think he doesn't want to interfere. I didn't feel that he was ignoring her, because as you said, you know, they just made out, you know, a couple of days ago. And that's very present in the both of them. And when she asked him, when she fell outside the club, he was like, who said I was angry? So I don't think that was the intention. He's just like giving her space, you know, respecting that she's in her, you know, in her job environment.
I can definitely see that. I think one of the biggest takeaways I saw for this episode with her ignoring him, and I guess we can talk about it as we go through and kind of what that looks like, was more on the sense of that she's kind of processing everything. Because I see it as, you know, Poppy is this girl who has been in this relationship for all these years. I feel like she hasn't seen the club scene quite some time. I feel like she's just excited about everything that's happening. She's like taking pictures, she's sending her friends, right? Like she's like enjoying herself. And I feel like I've also been that girl too, of like just being completely oblivious to like everything that's around you. So like not even picking up on the cue that he's trying to talk to her, because she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to order this drink, right? Oh, that someone would like this picture, right? And just like, just not even paying attention to it, like not intentionally being like, I have this against you because you ignored me. I'm ignoring you. Like, I don't even see her as being like that type of petty person at all in her personality. But I know I wish they interacted more, but I didn't pick it up as she's purposefully being, you know, upset at him and ignoring him.
I think that she doesn't even hear him because, you know, like when she was walking inside, you know, like the first time, she was like, what? So I think she doesn't even hear him. I'm pretty sure, you know.
Yeah, she's like full on nano status.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like Tora has like this low kind of voice. It will be really hard for her to hear, like with all this noise and all this, you know, like deep sounds and vibrations going on. So I don't think that she's ignoring him on purpose.
No. Yeah.
Even if she was kind of ignoring him, I wouldn't view it like Victoria petty. I don't think it would be petty. I would think it would be more like nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone pointed out that she also, I think it was EJ, that just last episode, she was also telling Rodine, like, I want to have time for myself. But yes. She's kind of like conflicted. And Patty was saying this, where she, you know, she wants him, but she doesn't want him. Or like, I think both of them have that conflict where like they like each other a lot, but there's like reasons that they don't want to be involved together. So, you know, they're like conflicted within themselves.
It's like they're both putting each other in a pedestal, you know, it's just like they both think that they don't deserve each other. So it's, you know, it's like this intricate kind of, you know, argument inside them. You know, it's just like, it's really difficult. I wouldn't be able to keep my eyes, you know, away from Tora.
So back with any of us, like, we'd all be those girls. We'd always be those girls.
Right. Yeah. So it's funny you said that they put each other on a pedestal and think they don't deserve each other. So Miss Millennial Pink had this really nice analysis where she connected like the symbolism of the fallen angel and the cave, obviously, and like the wobbly cave, the wobbly floor. So basically what you said, like they both think the other one is an angel and, you know, they think like they're unobtainable and I don't deserve that person. Mm-hmm. And they're both like falling, you know, falling for each other. And obviously the whole thing with like the Tora being like the fallen angel in terms of like the lifestyle that he leads. But the fact that they're, you know, on like the cave has a wobbly floor, like they're walking around and they're uncertain and like they're making mistakes, but they're still walking and they're falling, but they're still walking towards each other and like they'll come together eventually despite like the difficulties and the risks and like the mistakes that they're gonna make.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and we see like you guys were saying like Tora tries to talk to her. There, Ordina and Poppy are now at the bar, presumably ordering something. And Tora is just like, he really is a lost puppy dog. Kristen Malone said Tora is circling a Poppy like a socially awkward Roomba.
That was hilarious and very true. Like, oh my god, I want to pinch him.
He's so cute.
Right next to her at the bar, you know, just totally, you know, oriented towards her. One thing I always notice, I always find myself like whenever I'm having a conversation with several people at once, I always like pick up on who's my body facing, like, and then yes. I could tell who am I actually the most interested in that conversation. And I'll tell you a funny story. This is really funny. When my husband and I were engaged, so we were having a meal together, and then we had someone he knew, wasn't really such good friends with him, come over. And we called him Vegetable Guy because he was kind of like younger than us and he was very into farming. And he was like, I thought he was like a cute little guy, right? Like I had zero interest in him, but I was trying to make him feel better. So he was talking, he was going on and on about his vegetables and his farming. And I remember I turned my chair towards him. And later my now husband he told me he was so upset that I like put my turned my back to him and was turning to Vegetable Guy. And I was like, I was trying to like make Vegetable Guy feel better about himself. Like I thought he was like, you know, a little shy and nervous. Anyway, it was very funny. So I always think back to that as like an example of like mistakenly, you know, showing my interest in that person and how your body language reflects who you're interested in.
You can see Tora is just like, he looks like a child, you know, he is this big ass hot man, but you know, deep inside him, he's just like a lost child, you know, trying to grab Poppy's attention. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, come here. I have you. I'll save you.
Like in Poppy's defense, he also kind of just drops her there on their lap, like, here you go, and walks away. So that just kind of further that whole idea that he's not really interested in me. He doesn't really want to hang out with me. I'll just kind of wander off and, you know, give him his space. Meanwhile, he wants her attention, but he's also trying to give her some space. It's kind of a weird dynamic. So I didn't feel any type of way about Poppy's actions throughout this, except for just wishing that they would just turn around and see each other.
The entire episode, I was thinking, there's a line from, I don't know if it's accurate, it's from, I think it's from It Takes Two, it's probably from a lot of movies, where like they're like, just kiss already. I was like, just kiss already!
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, it doesn't help. So like in the next few panels, like, you know, when we see them at the bar ordering and he's trying to get her attention, he literally like whispers to her. It's like, sir, it is loud, sir. Yeah. You're at a bar. It is loud. She started talking to someone, doing a whisper, like, hey, like, you know, hey, Bobby, like, right. Like, who's going to hear that? That is so like, okay, sir, if you're trying to get attention, that is not the way like to do it. Like, that's not the way.
Exactly. But it's just like, you know, like he's so shy. Like you see, you know, it's just like when he is in the mafia environment, you see this, you know, this alpha male. But then trying to grab this little hamster's attention, it's just like, you know, he's a pile of goo. It's like he doesn't know how to react. He doesn't know. He's just so awkward. It's just so cute.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. We get a chance to see both Tor and Quincy from very different standpoints in this episode. Yeah. We're used to seeing the tough guy Tor, the one who's always in charge, confident, you know, charges in. And Quincy being kind of more of the playback, shy, let's just diffuse everything. And we kind of get a role reversal here. Sorry, I know I'm jumping the gun again. It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's the next panel.
You're good.
Yeah, let's get into Quincy. Because Quincy starts out with, like, he's like, good evening, my fallen angel. Yeah.
5 glasses of wine in.
Right.
Oh, he's so cute. And then Quincy, what do you guys think of his outfit? I was expecting sparkles and diamonds and fur. I really was. Like a feather boa.
I was expecting just like Liberace, just all over. And we got very classy, chic, sexy Quincy.
Yes. Very I adored his outfit. I was like, whoa, look at Quincy. Mm-hmm. He looks, you know, he doesn't look as childish as, you know, as before, and I was like, holy shit, I love that outfit. It's just like everything is right about him.
Also, we see a departure from his bright colors that we usually see, which I don't know if that was purposeful to mimic kind of this little bit of a darker personality we're getting, but I definitely noticed it, and both look good on him, I'll say.
And that's kind of what I was going to pick up on too, Kelly. That's what I noticed, that he's wearing black and like khaki, where normally we see him in like all these crazy all over prints that are like bright. Even I think his most like muted, I guess, colors of like him wearing bright teal, and then like he's even the like cheetah print. But like this, it's like, hey, I like the like adult sexy Quincy here on a mission, kind of thing, versus being aloof and like being you know, that guy during the day. So it's like I really like the play.
Yes, I think also he went for neutral colors to give, you know, Poppy like this princess, you know, birthday girl. And I think that's why he also asked, you know, Erdene just wear sneakers, even though, like, you know, the surface was uneven. But it's just like to give Poppy this, you know, like, let's have Poppy be the main attraction of the night.
I like that. He's a nice guy. I like Quincy.
Quincy know that Tora likes heels or something? That was the first thing that it popped into my head when she said Quincy told her to wear heels. I'm like, Papa, does Tora have a thing for heels? And
I think he assumes
Quincy's
most men
really
like
trying
heels
to show Poppy off.
Yeah, I think it's just like he's the general cultural thing that heels are considered sexy, you know.
Yeah, especially when you're wearing it in bed.
Learned a little something about M today.
Right.
Yeah, well,
it's like noted, ma'am. Right.
Yes. Take notes, girls.
I mean, they do need to find somewhere quiet to talk.
Mm-hmm.
At least we think so.
It doesn't have to be that quiet.
True.
It has to be really quiet where only the two of them are there. Just because that's how we want it.
Actually, we don't want it to be quiet. You know, we want to muffle the sound. So maybe out of view.
Okay.
Isolated out of view, but not necessarily quiet.
Exactly.
I think that's annoying.
Jesus. You see, like, the thirstiness is coming out already.
Yes.
Well, Tori's gonna have to get up close so she can even hear him. So I think it's gonna work out.
Whisper in her ear.
Oh, I'm here for
yell
that
in her ear. Yep. So Quincy says, I'd like you all to meet. And we have, you know, the thuglets gathered around. Thank you, Christina. My beautiful new coworker, Erdene. And Erdene's like, what's up? Right. And, you know, you just see more of Erdene's gorgeous outfit, looking very attractive. You know, basically wearing a blazer with shorts.
That I love her outfit. Yes.
Yeah.
Same. She looks great. Like, I think this is one of the first panels we see her like head on that's like in detail and her like smiling all cute. I was like, girl, you look great. Like, yes. I know they call like a goddess later. I'm like, yes, like you look great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Goddess is the right term.
She has the confidence to pull off a very revealing outfit and a striking outfit because that's who she is. You know, she's very self-possessed.
Mm-hmm. Or Dean wearing something like kind of revealing or short. It just kind of matches her personality. You don't even really notice. Like, oh, that's really revealing. It's just, oh, that's her. It just matches.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, then he's like, I'm Poppy, who's also our birthday girl today. And you kind of see Tora's, like, face in the background. He looks angry. Like, he looks resentful. I don't know. He looks, like, so full of, like, angst. He's like, this poor guy. He really looks like he does not know what to do with his feelings or himself mm-hmm. or Poppy. Like, he's just so flummoxed here.
I think it's because, you know,
and then I think
one
of the guys makes a comment that she, oh, cute name for cute girl. And I don't know how well that went over, if that had anything to do with that angst right then. And there, you know, these guys have her attention and I'm following her around and I can't get it yet. Mm-hmm. So
I think it's, you know, the typical like introvert kind of, you know, behavior. It's like he doesn't know how to incorporate himself to the conversation, you know, and it just seems like he's, you know, a creep behind, you know. It's like, how do I get myself, like, you know, how can I manage to get in the conversation? So it's just like typical introvert struggle.
Funny that you called him like the creeper lurking behind, because that's what Poppy called herself last episode.
Yeah.
What did you all think about Poppy's, like, I guess, like, nervous face for the introductions? Like, you know, like, Erdene was all, like, super excited and, like, all smiles, and Poppy was just like, hey. Like, you know, and he had, like, a little sweat drop.
Very relatable.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that. I feel like in scenarios, like, being awkward, like, all the tension being on you. Kind of thing, but I don't know if there's anything else. Like, just like nervous, like mm-hmm. you know, not super into the introductions.
I thought it was just like being center of attention. I didn't see anything more to that, but if someone else's theories, we can go with that.
Originally, I didn't see anything more to it either, but now I'm kind of thinking, like, I'm wondering if Poppy's wondering, are these guys associated with the mafia? You know, things like all these things to consider. Mm-hmm. In the midst of already feeling awkward and probably a little nervous.
Yeah, same. I think that Poppy, she's nervous not because the attention is on her. I think it's because, like, she knows that maybe all these people are in the mafia, you know, and I think that she's already feeling nervous because of that. Because Erdene is, you know, Erdene is oblivious to all this.
But yeah, I can't wait for Erdene, like, to, because Erdene is, like, I think very, like, perceptive. And I think Erdene's going to figure out pretty fast that there's something fishy about these guys. Especially if she, as we see later, gets into a relationship with one of them.
Oh my God.
Okay, we'll get to it when we get to it. A lot to discuss there.
Yes.
But for now, Tora is hovering in the background, feeling resentful. And he, like, has this, you know, vein popping out of his forehead. He's like, damn it. Why, like, the fuck am I trying so hard to get her attention for? Like, oh, Tora, like, so unself-aware. No, he's not unself-aware, actually, because in a couple episodes ago, right after Regina's peak, he was, like, so self-aware, and he's like, I'm in love with her, and I fell in love with, basically, as soon as I saw her, she's an angel, and when I'm, like, I'm obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, I guess he is self-aware, but he's trying to deny it, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Poor guy. And he even, like, vocalizes.
I think they go back and forth.
Yeah. Right. The internal conflict. Mm-hmm. He's probably jealous that they're calling her cute. And then he tells himself, he's like, she'll either notice you or she won't get a fucking grip. But immediately he's like, he has to do something with his, like, emotions. He's like, another round. And the guy's like,
what? It's like, you know, somebody, I can't remember who was in Patreon. Somebody mentioned, like, he was, like, getting intoxicated. I'm like, with what? Strawberry juice?
Right.
It's like, maybe he can, I don't know, a sugar rush, but yeah. I mean, Tora doesn't drink.
On Poppy. That's about it.
Yes, true.
Yes, that poor bartender is, like, so confused. It's like, what are you talking about, sir? Like, I'm trying to not lose my job, or, like, you lose it on me. But what are you saying? Like, it just made me laugh. It's like, oh, what, sir? Your guess is good as mine.
Like he thuds his hand twice on the like bar thing. He's so agitated, like he has to express it physically. Mm-hmm. Like thud thud, you know.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, it's just like he has to kind of like lose all this energy. And I think that somebody's going to say something wrong and he's going to punch the fuck out of them. So
I hope not. I hope he saves that energy for Poppy. Yeah. Because as we've already seen, Tora is a very physical person, whether it's happy or angry or whatever. That's how he expresses himself. So I'm hoping that that gets expressed later in a more conducive way.
Well, maybe, he's truly craving a cigarette.
Maybe they'll find like a little supply closet.
Yes.
He's got do you guys want them to dance together?
Yes. Yes, please.
I don't know. I feel like I don't.
Tora dancing.
Yeah, I don't. I was gonna say like I don't see Tora.
I can't picture it though.
Yeah, it's like I don't know if I want that. I feel like I don't know. I feel like I don't see him dancing, especially.
Oh, I want it. I want all the awkwardness, all of it.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be good at it, but I want to see it. I totally do.
Well, you'd be surprised because Lily said that he was, when he was younger, he was a party animal. So I believe in my boy. I think he can, pull, you know, a really sexy kind of dance. And oh my God, I'm going to fucking lose it.
I don't remember reading that anywhere.
Yeah, it's in Patreon. Yep. I'll look for it and I'll tell you where it is. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, was it confused with Poppy? Like, because Poppy mentioned that she was a party animal, and we were kind of like, was she really? Was she not?
No, her definition of party animal might be really different
than Maybe. Yeah, mm-hmm. Moonbright Pop party animal rather than Naren City
party animal. Right.
Yeah.
No. I actually remember on Facebook, there was someone who was joking about, like, if Quincy and Tora had like a choreographed like dance number, like they actually are both really great dancers and they have like the spotlight on them. I thought that was hilarious. I was like, I can't even imagine one Tora, but then both of them hitting the dance floor, right? Oof. I'm just like, I'm here for it.
Yes.
Quincy being really good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Quincy taking lessons.
Oh, Quincy would be amazing.
For sure.
No doubt.
Awesome. So now we get into the best line of this entire episode. Damien's like, yo, I'm Damien. I'm a Sagittarius. My favorite color is pink, obviously. Oh my God. Literally, I think I stopped at this point because I had to go like downstairs to get some food or whatever. And I like just went downstairs cackling and I like my husband and daughter were there. I'm like, hi, I'm Mindy. I'm a Cancer. My favorite color is teal. They're like, why are you telling us this? I'm like, because
he's hilarious. The best. I liked him. The second I read it, I was like, wow, there's my new favorite character right there. Like, how can you not love him?
He kind of like gives the vibe that he's a badass, you know, with the tattoo. I love the tattoo, the frame of his face and the eyebrows. Like, he looks like a badass until he starts speaking. And you can see, like, you know, it's just like, you're so soft and cute.
It seems to be a running trend with the thuglets. They're all like really soft and cute once you get up and close with them. It's adorable.
So it's funny because a lot of people starting from last episode were like obsessed and lusting over Damien. And I think it's because the way he was introduced back in the pool scene made them feel like they were like thuglets. Yeah. Like, you know, his acolytes. So right away I associated them as like young, like more beta kind of guys, rightly or wrongly. So I'm like, oh, they're just babies. You know, like I have totally zero like interest in them. Not because they're 2D characters, mind you, but because, because like, I don't see them. And like in a strong, independent way. You know, I don't know. I'm just, I guess compared to Tora, a lot of people are outshadowed, but you know, I don't know.
I think it's an unfair comparison almost. He definitely.
I don't do that to Giyu. Like I respect Giyu a lot. So I don't like, and Giyu is obviously like a much more beta kind of guy, but I don't know. I feel like he has a lot more inner strength, which we'll actually see a bit later. You know, I really liked what he did.
But it was Brian who had the conversation, you know, with Tora, like, you know, like he was wondering if Tora was gay. Yes. And Damien was the one holding Brian, you know, like when all that Jadori situation happened.
I totally forgot that part. Thank you for bringing that up. But anyway, these guys are like adorable. And they're like, you know, we've been with Big Bro Tora since eighth grade. He took us in when I was kind of wondering what what the when we part. I guess it's probably the scene that's going to come next. But Ryan's like, shut up, Pinky. I don't want to ask for your damn Grindr profile. And when I read this, I was like, Grindr? I was like, does that mean he's gay? But then Lily did clarify on the Patreon that I usually try not to say Patreon stuff, but that basically she was trying to, meant to say like Tinder, but she was trying to make it like non-brand name, you know, which mm-hmm. you guys see on Webtoons, there's always like, instead of Gucci, it's like Goosey or like something like that. So she was like, no, I was just, I meant a generic dating app. So, but anyway, so cute. And he's like, oh, sorry, Pinky, but you know, he's been hyping himself since 6 p.m. He's usually, you know, not this annoying. And he's like, oh, I'm just trying to make conversation. And I want to like share this exchange that like was posted on Patreon because I think it is so funny. I screenshotted it and I thought it was adorable about like, what does it mean for him to try to make conversation? Yeah, Miss Millennial Pink said that Christina and Aga and I were just wondering how the boys were prepped for the party and came to the conclusion that one, the thuglets must have Googled some how to talk to non-clan folk 101 tips. And let's just say Damien took the script too literally. Or two, Quintess is running a science civilian etiquette school for the thuglets. And first class was like, civilians like astrology, cat memes, light compliments, small talk about the weather, and your wishes and aspirations. Civilians don't like talk about beating people up, tips on how to get bloodstains off your brand new white shoes. And then Quincy's like, okay, Damien, you go first. Try opening with a light anecdote. Pinky, oh, damn, shit, okay. Okay, I got this. So this one time we were playing pool, right? And Big Bro just smashed this guy's head with a cue. Quincy, oh, honey, you don't got this. Back to slide one.
That's hilarious.
Miss Millennial Pink was like, now we know what he's teaching at the juvenile center.
That's funny. I can definitely see that. Because they're, I mean, they do seem very, very scripted in a way. I mean, obviously it's scripted because mm-hmm. it's a webtoon, clearly. But you know what I mean? It's like when they're saying it, it's like, does he normally introduce himself that way? Because if so, that's great. I love it. He just missed the, you know, he's missing the line of, you know, I like long walks on the beach on there too. Like that, I feel like that's like the only thing like missing to that. But this is funny.
I think it's because, you know, like they don't get to talk to regular people. And I think it's just like, it's awkward for them. And, you know, in a sense, it makes them nervous. I don't know.
And all of their stories probably revolve around some type of violence or something happening. Yes. So it's like, what do you talk about when that's off the table? Well, I'm a Sagittarius and my favorite color is pink. That's all you got.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was funny too. They were saying that they had been drinking since like way earlier. And so this is like a side note, I guess. One, what time is it that they're at the club? Like how much time has elapsed since that 6 o'clock? And I'm like, if they're pre-gaming to go out, which totally get that, I am surprised they have it more together. Like, I'm surprised that they're as good as they are. I would expect them to be, like, even more wild in the stuff they're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, they seem very tame. They're like, oh, yeah, like, this is naturally my conversation or I'm trying to fit mm-hmm. in. But they seem totally fine. Like, I would be expecting, like, slurred more, you know, whatever, like, F-bombs in there, like, more in, like, the conversation. If they're actually been drinking for like several hours before getting there. I don't know.
It's kind of Damien says it's like 10 o'clock at night. I think she says it's around 10.
They've been pre-gaming for 4 hours and they're this good.
And they started pre-gaming at like 6?
Maybe they're just
their first rodeo.
I know, like I'm impressed. If that's the case, I'm impressed with their behavior.
It's funny because like when I read the fifth glass of wine comment, so I hate wine, period. I hate the way it tastes. And I get like a headache with any kind of alcohol. I get like a headache in one sip of wine. So I never drink. I've never been drunk in my life. I've once forced myself to go to a wine tasting our friends were going to. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I, you know, maybe I've just had bad wine all my life. And that's why I don't like wine. I sat there and I sipped like 8 kinds of like expensive wines. And I was like, this is all disgusting. And I just had a big headache. And I was like, never doing this again. So anyways, I have no frame of reference for like, what's 5 glasses of wine?
That's like a bottle, drink,
but not wine.
That's like
a bottle. Yeah, it's definitely a bottle.
From someone who drinks wine regularly, that's a bottle, essentially. So
how much is this supposed to affect you? Like,
I mean, I think normal people, depending on like what kind of wine it is, I think like 2 glasses, you probably feel like a little tipsy, you know, a little buzz, 2 glasses. So maybe he's a big guy though. So I feel like he could probably down a bottle like nothing. So.
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking with Victoria and it's exactly the same, Mindy. Like I've never been drunk. I don't drink because
that is shocking.
I said the same thing. I was like, girl, I don't know what you know, but we need to talk about this.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, on the first
I'm not
sip.
Drunk now.
But then she can't talk. Well, actually, it'll be interesting. Never mind. I was going to say, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of you when you're drunk, but it's probably going to be the same thirstiness that's going to come out of you when you're 10 minutes over.
So. Yeah, definitely.
We don't hold back over here.
But definitely, I've tried, hard cider, and I literally drink the bottleneck, and it will take me, 4 hours to drink that much. You know, it's just, I just can't. I just get a neck pain and a headache, and I'm like, I'm done. So, yeah.
I'm also very much a control freak. I like to control my life and be very much, aware of where I am. I've never had the need to feel like I let go. I have some friends who have anxiety, and they use both alcohol and marijuana to help them ease off, and I'm like, I don't know, I just don't find it. I guess I like being a control freak. I don't know. Yeah,
you're very core like in that way.
Yes, 100%. I was like, I don't know if I should say this in public because I'm New Jersey's about to legalize marijuana, but I have friends who do pot all the time, and they're like, try it. I'm like, no, not till it becomes legal, because I'm like, whatever, straight like that. And finally, I was like, yeah, I'll do once. I did edibles, and I was like, I only did it with my husband and my really close friends, because I was like, I don't want to be out of control in front of random people. And I was like, it was interesting. It was an interesting experience, because it was the life felt different, but I was like, not doing it again. I'd rather read a book, you know?
Yeah. Well, Kelly, you and I, we can go out for drinks.
Oh, absolutely. And,
what comes with that?
I can be the responsible,
our driver.
Well, we'll
our driver.
Yes.
Do they need to bring tasers?
Probably.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So these guys, who maybe you need tasers for, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't feel threatened by these guys. I feel like
no. I think they're afraid of pissing off Tor or Quincy, honestly.
Yeah.
So now they're having this side bit is hilarious. You know, this is in typical comedy where you have these two bros, and they're they're in conversation, and then suddenly they just start arguing with each other, and this is what they're doing. And they're so cute. And Brian's and Big Bro didn't take us in. We forced ourselves on him. What do you mean force ourselves? He never said no. It's situational awareness. This guy is so enamored of Tora. He's like, Tora chose me personally. He has no clue. Oh, at least Brian seems to be more accurate in his memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the people in Tora's life who had become really important were not placed there necessarily by his choosing. It was circumstantial, but they've become really his family to a certain extent.
Yeah, so I'm actually, after we recount this episode, I kind of would be interested in talking about how do you think Tora feels about the Thuglets. So let's talk about how they force themselves on him, and then we'll see what we think he thinks about them. Mm-hmm. So here we have a memory of Baby Giyu, who is so cute. I love him so much. Oh my gosh, he's such a sweetie pie. He's such a good guy. I feel like he's a piece of sugar. He's just such a sweetie.
Yes.
So he's like, fine guys, you win. I'll take you to Big Bro. Don't blame me if you get yourselves killed. He's one bad temper mofo. He should be at work right now. And then Damien, who's all tough, he's like, big fucking deal. You know, I don't care if he's bad tempered. We'll kick his ass if he dares to turn us down, just like how we kicked yours. So meanwhile, these they're all filled with bravado. Even back then, they're like, we ain't got nothing to be scared of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an annoying little kid. You know, it's just you don't know what you're getting yourself into.
They're in eighth grade, right? And oh, poor Giyu. He's he has these his nose is bleeding. He has bumps on his head. He has blood splattered on his shirt. Poor guy. I feel bad for him. You know, he was a sweetie pie always. But you know what? I like the fact that he's able to, A, be sarcastic with them. If you see his face, he's like, oh my God. And he tells them, he's able to be verbally, stand up for himself, even if he wasn't able to physically defend himself against, five little kids. But he's able to, tell them, I think what you're doing is a bad idea. He's true to himself. And I think that, to me, is, the big thing about Giyu, that he's very honest and, very real. At least that's how I see him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Giyu is one of my favorite side characters. He's so loyal. I love that about him. And he's an IT guy, so.
Oh, right, and your husband does IT, right?
Yes. Yeah, he's pretty cute.
Yeah, I just really like him. I think he has a lot of inner strength. And I think, the most honest conversation I've heard Tora ever have was with Giyu. And I think that in the truck, when they were talking about how Katara was talking about how he hates his life and he's ashamed of it. And I think that's because Giyu is so trustworthy and so non-judgmental and like so reliable. Like, I just really, he's a great guy. Like, the kind of guy you can always depend on no matter what.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think he also sees Tora for what he is outside, or at least besides, you know, the mafia whole life. And whereas like these guys, they're interested in being around him. I see, at least at this point, because of his status, right? They wanted to be under him because of his status, learn from him, you know, all of that. Whereas Giyu, we see him actually having real conversations about life and making that like emotional connection with him. And so I always kind of really enjoy their friendship that way. Same as Quincy's. I think they have some of that conversation, but Mindy, you're right. I think the most real, you know, like vulnerable conversation we've seen has been with Giyu and Tora, which.
And I think that there's an understanding there that maybe isn't there with Quincy. Or I shouldn't say Quincy, it's not that Quincy doesn't understand, but Quincy's just not in that situation. His is a little bit different. So I think that them being in similar situations and how they handle outside people and their relationships also helps build that bond.
I like Quincy a lot, but I think there's, I think in many ways he's oblivious, either willfully or accidentally. I think that also his position is much more privileged, like you were saying. Giyu doesn't have that. And I think Quincy is a little more avoidant of like real conversations. Like, he had that one real conversation on the stairs as he was carrying Tora up. But I think in general, he's much more, he tries to make everything beautiful and nice and sparkly. And he doesn't like to have real conversations as much, which is something I hope he'll grow into over the course of the cartoon.
I feel like Giyu is like, you know, this little brother for Tora. You know, I see their relationship like that, like, more than friendship. It's just like Tora is always like, you know, looking out for him, and we'll eventually see what happened, you know, between them. And in that scene when they were in the restaurant and Giyu started crying. So, you know, that's the kind of relationship I see between them.
Right. And Tora also was tearing up. So
yes,
that's very poignant and profound if they can share that.
Exactly.
Right. I'm mad curious about that, especially because he does actually talk about Quincy there, that him and Quincy saved his life. So what happened? I'm so curious.
Yes, yes, we will eventually get there.
Anyway, so now Tora is taking, Giyu is taking them to Tora's work. Now, I originally thought this was Alice's restaurant, and I was like, did he just beat up those kids with a baseball bat? But I realized it's not. It must be some clan work. And you see this guy or guys on the floor, tons of blood, baseball bat, blood. And then you see, it says baby Tora, but I'm like, that is not a baby. Like,
what's the definition of baby? You know, it's just like, the first thing I thought, I was like, holy shit, does Tora need a nanny? Because, you know, I was zooming in this panel, and I was, you know, looking at his tats are not, you know, complete. And I was like, is something wrong with me for finding this attractive, you know, these blood splattered everywhere. And this fucking guy looks, you know, it's just like so hot there. I probably have, you know, problems.
I think that was most of us.
Yeah. Every single person said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually was emotionally disturbed. I was like, oh my God, Tora, like, you're really not doing good things. But I totally get that everyone, I mean, it's like very caveman thing, you know, and like very evolutionary biology, which is like, oh, we like the strong man who can take care of us. I married a softie, so maybe I'm not that kind of person. but yeah, I mean, everyone was reacting that way.
So. You know, we keep forgetting, I mean, Tora, we see this cute side of Tora, this loving side of him with Poppy, and, you know, the softness and how delicate he is with her. We can forget that Tora is a hitman, you know. Tora has killed people, he is violent, you know, he's a brute force. So this is not shocking for me. It wasn't shocking to see that I think he killed the guys with the bat. So I mean, for me, it's even badass. So whatever, I play games, so for me it's not even violent. So
I think that's a good point, though. It's like a good reminder to all of us. It's like, hey, this is who he is. Like, I think you're like, right, we're seeing him through like the rose colored glasses because of all the episodes that we're like, oh, he's great. And because of this, and he's such a sweetie and innocent, and he's childlike. But it's like, no, he's definitely a part of this life. And I think it's like deeper ingrained in him then I think we would like to admit to ourselves when we're saying like how much that we love him and like we're like, damn, he's hot, right? Like we are, like we all know that, but it's just like reminder, like, yeah.
It's something like peeling back the layers of an onion with Tora, you know, and sometimes we get to that center and we're like, oh, he's just a sweet little girl, like you said, Victoria. And then you're reminded, like, oh, he's also a little bit of a psychopath. We just luckily don't get to, he doesn't bring that out typically. And I don't think he likes to bring it out. I think he only brings it out with clan work and that's it. He'd like to have that sweet little gushy life that we all kind of picture him having with Poppy.
I think one of the things that actually disturbed me was when he mentioned, or Gayu mentioned, that, you know, he broke his legs, Tora broke his legs. I was like, Gayu is your friend. Like, that's what you do to your friends? And I think Tora is, his natural reaction is violence. And I think, yeah, it's obvious that the reason he is attracted to Poppy is because she's opposite and, like, she brings out the softer side of him. But, like, yeah, I think his, with everything else in his life, he's just been trained to be violent. And, yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if, not that I, like, I feel like someone like Patty would have more experience with this, but, like, I'm assuming for anybody who's been raised this way, like, even if you want to change, it's very, very hard. One of my husband's, like, really good friends grew up in an incredibly violent household. Like, very, they were all very, very abused. And when I see how he treats his family, I'm like, oh my God, he's terrible. He's so emotionally abusive, but like he's never laid a hand on any of his family. And for him, that's like the biggest accomplishment in the world to not like touch his family. He, and it's like crazy because I think he's like very emotionally abusive, but given how he grew up, that's like a major achievement for him. So, you know, I think it's like super hard to have people change, which is why, you know, we've kind of discussed this several times. Like, would you really want to be with a guy like Tora? Like, is that really what you should be doing?
Absolutely. Like
a safe option.
Emma is committed. Whatever happens, she is absolutely committed.
Fuck it. You know, it's just like, whatever.
But I think it's interesting. Like, it's almost like they took what I think Tora's just like, was a textile person. I think that's his language is touch. And had he not been kind of warped into this weapon, so to speak, that touch may have been more like affectionate, hugging his friends, you know, things like that. And now that he's kind of so messed up and brought up this way, he refocuses that urge to touch, that urge to be physical with violence for the most part. And I think even like when you said he broke Guy's legs, you know, I'm sick, but I took it in a way of almost like he didn't really mean it in a I hate you way, but more in almost like a big brother, like I'm gonna beat the shit out of you kind of way. That's just how I took it, but maybe that's because I look at Tora with rose colored glasses. So
yeah, I kind of assumed he was exaggerating also, so I like that.
Yeah, that as well.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe, maybe not. But no, I actually, Kelly, I think kind of the same thing. Like when he said that, like they were like joking and arguing about it, like in the car, he's like, yeah, you know, if someone says sorry, you don't break their legs. Like, he's like, I said sorry. Like I take it like he maybe one leg slightly broken, like just a little bit.
Maybe just a little fractured.
Right. Like sort of like roughing
around. It's okay. It's just
fractured. I think just like roughing around. Like I didn't take it as him like literally like beating him with the bat like in an alley, but more sort of like messing around, like hitting him. And he just happened to have broken his leg, like
Exactly. You know, just compare, like, you know, the sizes of Tora and Gyu. You know, it's just like Gyu is this little thing, and maybe they were joking. You know, who knows? And you know, Tora is pure muscle, so that's what happens.
We have all the excuses. Tora, no matter. I know we have all the excuses. So.
Yeah. Oh, that boy deserves all the excuses.
So, speaking of excuses, Patty said something very interesting about him here. She said how, you know, in this panel, right, she calls him baby Tora, but he's obviously very confident and very in control and in charge. And he's like the kid who had to grow up real fast, right? Here he's acting like a man. And she, he's probably not that young here. Like, he's not like really a baby, but he's been forced to grow up fast. And we all noticed, and in contrast, that now in the club in present time he's an adult, but he's acting very childish. So it's like that reversal.
He's 19 in the memory,
right? So
Poppy almost takes him back to a time before he was who he is, like trained to be who he is. Like even that dream
dream that he had a few episodes back when he's on the beach and he's just thinking back to all he wanted to do, which is kind of sit there with her. And I feel like for him, it almost kind of erases all of those bad things that came, mm-hmm. you know, between that moment, him with her now. I don't know, maybe I just came up with that in my own head and maybe I'm crazy, but that's kind of how I feel like he, like she kind of erases a lot of that for him. And so we get to see kind of this nervous, awkward, unsure kid again that we don't typically get to see with anybody else that he deals with.
So speaking of the dream, like somebody else pointed out this, someone, no shout outs, pointed out this really cool parallel where in the dream, you know, he's like in her world and he has to make a choice. You know, he wants her, but then he's like holding back. But in the end, he kind of like does call out Poppy, and he's really doing the same thing here. You know, he's in that, now she's in his world, which is, that's the opposite, but he has to make a choice. Like, should he try to reach out to her? And he does, like, he does reach out to her. Oh. So it's like this nice parallelism.
Yeah.
And awesome. I love what she said. She said this, she, I'm assuming it's a she because we're all females, two females. She said the way she described Tora's behavior in this episode, I thought was so spot on. And like, if you think about it that way, then you're really like, you feel for him. She said he staked himself out in the middle of the street at high noon in front of a moving train emotionally. And it'll be stunning when he lays himself out for her. Because yeah, to admit that you want someone is to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Right, and he's tried to call out already several times to her throughout the episode. He tries to get her attention, and when you show someone that you like them and you want them, that's like laying yourself bare, and that's hard enough for anybody to do, but especially for somebody like Tora. So, like, kudos to you, Tora, like for really trying to be there and to get your life the way you want it and to go for what you love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And another thing that I just kind of thought about. When we see Tora with me most of the time, it's a lot of one-on-one. And he's also not as awkward with her one-on-one as he is when there are other people around, which is evidenced by this. And also when they had the dinner with Cordy. Poppy, anybody having Poppy's attention other than himself kind of throws him off his game. And he gets agitated, angsty, awkward. Fortunately, so far, he hasn't gotten angry. But he kind of almost seems like he doesn't know how to compete for her attention against somebody that he feels is more worthy of her time, that's in her world, her realm, that's not, you know, somebody that she would be ashamed to be around. That seems to be a trend with him.
Yeah, if you see Tora, I think he's not used, like you said, of competing. Like, he's always the center of attention. Trying to captivate Poppy's attention is just, you know, new waters for him. So he doesn't know how to react and he doesn't know how to proceed with this.
True.
That's very true.
Yeah. And Patty was also saying how, you know, he's finally starting to have like some emotional growth. She's talking about how like the stunted seeds of emotional growth for dating and caring are like germinating. Like he wasn't able to, most people, if they have like a decent family, like they're helped along with like their emotions and relationships. Mm-hmm. They have a good model for relationships and their parents talk to them. Oh, you like this person, you don't like that person. And like, they're helped along, but he's like totally stumbling blind in terms of like, how do you express yourself when you like somebody? How do you like be vulnerable and still feel okay with yourself? And like, he has to like learn it all on his own. He doesn't have any role models for him.
Honestly, I don't think that he has any trouble, you know, getting females' attention. And I think he's used to one night stands and being, you know, this caveman, you know, meet one woman kind of thing. Maybe, you know, just like get to business and get the fuck out, you know. But with Poppy, you know, it's just like it's completely different because, you know, the shyness in her too, you know, I think he doesn't want to hurt her. And it's all new to him, you know, all these emotions is just like, is relationship wise is new to him.
Yeah.
So Tora here being violent and like everyone lusting after him, great. And he's like, hey, you, what's with your face? And by the way, so many people, just to point out, like the how close attention we pay, we even noticed like the little bit of skin showing between his tank top and his pants.
Like, how hard did we have to study that to notice?
Jumped out at everybody.
Yeah. And you notice like his tattoos are not completed there. You know, he only has the shoulder kind of chest thing, which is cool.
Wow. Anywho, I kind of want to do a timeline. Like, you see, this is like, he's itis here. that, like, this is the third hair color I think we've seen his hair. Like, he had, like, that more silvery color, and, like, I don't remember it being red like this and this length. So it's like we keep seeing different shades of Tora.
Well, when he went with the flashback in Alice, it was a kind of like hot red color. I think because of the lightning in this panel, maybe it's the same kind of age he was back then. But I think it's the same kind of, like, you know, timeline, I think.
So, but one thing that we like is that Tora, as soon as he sees that Giyu is beat up, he's like, they did this to you? And he, like, picks up a table and he wants to throw it at them. And so, like, he is defensive of Giyu, and he does care, like, and he is loyal. So he does have morals and the sense of connection. And, I mean, we know he's loyal. So even though, like, you're right, I think that he's not very verbally articulate, but physically, like, that's his love language. He's like, okay, I can't tell Giyu that I love him and care about him and I want to protect him, but I'm going to protect him. I'm going to beat those kids up.
Yes.
And Giyu, to his credit, even though he's, like, defending with his body the classmates who just beat him up, he's such a good guy. He's like, no, big bro, we were just playing, they're my classmates. It's like, yeah, sure, playing, but whatever. What were you playing?
Yeah. And one of the kids is shouting, holy shit, he's carrying that table with one hand. It's like, how strong this man is to carry a fucking table with one hand. It's just like, run for your life, Forrest.
It just made me laugh so hard, because it's like the last, you know, panel we saw them, like, we don't care how tough he is, we're gonna beat him up, and blah blah blah, beat him up too. And it's like, you have poor Giyu, like the smallest one of all of them, who just got beat up by them protecting them. That just literally made me laugh out loud. Like, I scrolled by and I was just like, this is great.
Yeah.
This is why we signed up for this, to talk about this. Like, it just made me laugh. It's like, poor Giyu. Yeah. And they're all crying in the background. Like,
I think, like, this was the moment, though, that Damien kind of fell for Tora, and that was it. He was like, I'm not leaving Tora's side.
It's like, that's, you know, that's the pact that sealed their, you know, kind of relationship.
Instead of, like, the opposite, instead of being like, oh my god, I'm never going near him again, he's like, I have to be like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love how they're all, like, grabbing onto Giyu, and, like, they're hiding behind Giyu. Like, I just love this about Giyu. You know, to me, it just sticks out that he's, like, a really moral guy, and, like, he'll always try to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Love him. But now, then Tora's like, you punks think I got time for games? And now this is hilarious. Like, the table just flies out the window and it's, like, crashing down and maybe killing someone, but whatever. Like, all of you fuck off before, and blah, blah, blah. So now I have a question. What do you think Tora thinks about the Fuglis? Like, what do you think he feels about the fact that, like, as like some people were pointing out, I think Patty was saying that, like, they're like, oh my god, the thug life, it's so glamorous, and, like, mm-hmm. it's so brave, and he's like, this is gross, like, why do you want to be a part of this?
Yeah.
So, like, what do you think he thinks about the Thuglets? And I think that might account for, like, why he doesn't seem to have formed a relationship with them. Like, he treats them like dirt.
I think he's annoyed by them, you know. It's just like they all live for the hype, you know. It's just like, oh, I want to be, like, badass, like, big bro. But they don't really understand, you know, what it is. You know, Vincent broke Tora and molded him how he wanted. So I think he's annoyed for the fact that they don't understand and they don't get it. Like, if he were to have a choice, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have taken the mafia life. So that's, you know, I think that's all, you know, gets him, like, super mad.
I kind of see that too, Violeta. Like, that's kind of my thought on it. Like, he has to have them around. He needs them around, right? He gives them missions. He tells them security area. Like, he needs them, and he has roles for them. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he sometimes feels like he's babysitting almost, maybe. Like, I'm telling them, like, what to do. And it's, like, kind of having that, like, annoyance of, like, eye roll of, like, oh god, like, get it together. I need to do this. Do your job. We're not here to have fun. Like, do your job. Right. Like, I feel like that's a big part of it, where he sees it as work. And I think we all have, like, colleagues we work with, and it's like, we see them at work and that's it. Like, right. They don't go into your personal life. Like, you don't tell them anything about yourself. They're not your friend. You're, you know, associates, for instance. And I see, like, that kind of connection with Tora and even some of the other folks, like, in the clan. Like, he's cordial because he has to be, but they're not his friends. He doesn't see them as, you know, you clock out, right? They stay as a part of that life. It's not someone you talk to regularly on a mm-hmm. basis.
You can see that in the episode where Mr. Lam went away with Shark and Claude, when Poppy was like, are those people your friends? And he was like, no, they're coworkers. So like Victoria was saying.
I was actually going to use that example that you just brought up. But I kind of see it a little bit different. I think that there are kind of like three different sections. There's the people that he puts like shark in and like that, where it's like, we're not friends. I don't really care for them. I'm just forced to work with them sometimes. And then you have, of course, the category with people like Quincy and Hugh, where I love them. They're my friends. They're like my family. And then you have the thuglets, who are kind of in this middle ground where it's like, I don't think that he hates them. I don't think that he even dislikes them. I think it's more like you said, it's a little bit of babysitting. It's almost like a mentorship, but I think where the disconnect is he can't understand why you want to be mentored in this, why you want this lifestyle. Whereas they also, like everyone else that stares at Tora, they put him on that pedestal and he still can't understand why he's there. So I think that's the disconnect there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's like, I agree. I don't think he hates them, but like he is very gruff with them, but I don't think he sees them in the same way like Claude and Sharsh, where I think he just thinks are evil. They're also younger. Yeah. So.
But he's also rough with everyone. There's no one outside of Poppy that he's not rough with. So.
Yeah, and I also see, you know, like the mafia, like different ranks, like the military. You know, Tora is in a completely different rank, and Douglas, you know, it's just like private. I don't know. I don't know the ranks of the military. But, you know, the most basic one.
Yeah, there was this adorable conversation, comment on Patreon about like the lifestyle of a thug. So it was like thuggies and thuglet and thug and boss thug. It was like, you know, kind of like lifestyle of a frog and a tadpole. So.
Yeah, well, Tora, he's like boss level thug, right? Yeah, he said that.
He said boss level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Poppy said that.
Speaking of boss level thug, you guys scrolling on for like Quincy. Oh, okay. I'm like scrolling past and throwing out the chair. It's like speaking the boss level. He grabs them. It's like, excuse us for a moment. Like, and I can see him like saying it real sweetly and like baking it. And they knew they messed up. Their faces already is like, they already know.
Yeah. Was the fist in front of his face?
I have scroll.
Yeah, it was very aggressive hand motion for Quincy we're not used to.
You're right.
But that was the first time in this. Right, I'm used to seeing This was the first time that I looked at a panel with Quincy and I said, "Shit!" Like we really get to see that influence kind of peeking through for the first time, which also made me go back to some other panels where we do see that kind of authoritative role, but he downplays it so much with Tora. Like when he carries him up the steps and he's like, you know, are you too depressed to talk? Because we're going to have this conversation, but you get to decide when we have it. Mm-hmm. Whereas with these guys, he doesn't temper it as much. It's more like, I'm calm, but this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Which I kind of like seeing a little bit more of that in Quincy. I'm just hoping that we don't see more of Vincent in Quincy, more of the psycho parts.
I will say, though, I think, like, the whole, like, exchange that they have when, you know, they're apologizing, saying that they're done, it won't happen again. We get that one close-up panel of him saying good. I was like, damn. Like, all right, Quincy, like, I see you. You're not as as nice and sweet as you're putting off. Like, there's definitely something else there. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to, one, I guess, learn I don't know if I just want to see more of it, but like learn more about that side of him. Mm-hmm. Because it's definitely not something that is new, and even they know it. Like they even called him like young master, or they go to say young master and they're like, I mean Quincy. Like I think he's more involved in the world than he puts off on. Even like we've heard him in the prior episodes talking about, you know, he's not on clan mission, like clan work right now. So it's like, what does that work look like when he is involved? And like, how often does that come up? Because I'm just like, oh, like now I'm like scared. I'm scared of you, Quincy. Like, hot, but I'm still scared. Like,
that's why you like, find him hot.
Right?
Find him hot because he's scary, and because he has like a backbone.
See, like I strongly believe we all have mental problems.
I think a lot of women like strong men. You know.
Yes. Yes. And I also was like, holy shit, how can Quincy be so fucking hot in this panel? It's just like, you know, I normally kind of see like, you know, this cute Quincy kind of, you know, character. But here I was like, oh shit. If he keeps at it, yeah, he can definitely take over, you know, the gang. And it's just like, ooh. So we don't know.
And we still haven't really seen much of an interaction with Jensen and Quincy. So we still don't know what the dynamic is. We don't know how Quincy was raised in comparison to Tora. We just know that Vincent has made the comment about keeping his bloodline pure. So we assume that he's raising Quincy to take over and all that that entails. But we still don't really know anything about who Quincy is outside of the cute little bubble. I'm his friend, you know, with Tora and Poppy.
Yeah.
I've assumed that we discussed this, like this whole theory of Quincy, but when Vincent says, you know, in that same conversation with the bloodline, he says, oh, you know, I know what my son is. And basically it sounds like he chose Tora because he saw Quincy was like this, you know, sweetie pie and couldn't take over. So he like, we would need like a partner. But and we also discussed that we think Quincy might have enhanced or like put on an act of being a softie to avoid having to be pushed into responsibility by his father.
Yeah.
And it's like a way of protecting himself, which is very perceptive and wise of like,
maybe,
who knows, probably Vincent probably doesn't even know how strong Quincy really is. You know, maybe this is all, you know, like a facade or something. So yeah, kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I'm definitely very intrigued by Quincy and like want to see what's he really like. Like how much of it is an act and, you know, to be well liked as well. Like he likes to be liked. So yeah, it's awesome. It's great. Yeah, he's definitely intimidating. He's got the eyebrows. He's looking down at them. His eyes look amazing. I love blue eyes. I know his eyes are more like green, but here they look blue. So I'm like, oh, nice. And whatever. My husband's blonde and blue-eyed. I totally have a thing for blonde and blue-eyed people. Without a doubt. So anyway, so he's like, you know, make sure. I said I'll give you all a treat, which is like maybe free drinks or something. I don't know. And make sure you behave. I want Big Bro to get a well-deserved break, which is sweet, right? If he does, it's kind of like sweetness and intimidation at the same time.
Yes.
You know, it's a little interesting to see what the Damien and Brian say, because, you know, to let us know like how the clan kind of works out. He's like, young master, you know, those allowed to enter the lounge were given a no blabbing brief. They were told not to say anything, which kind of explains why they weren't like looking at Poppy so much. And the rest of Big Bro's men's outside are just here for the booze and music. They won't cause any trouble. So, you know, he has some guys outside as well, guarding.
But you know that there's going to be someone in the crowd that is going to do something. You can just, like, you know, feel it that it's going to happen.
So. That's what I thought. I was like, oh my God, there's going to be trouble. Vincent, clan, fighting. I was like, this is going to be some big drama mess. I'm not so sure now, but whatever. I'm fine with whatever happens. Erdene and Poppy are, like, looking. And Erdene's a little more like of a impassive face, but Poppy is like anxious because, and I think she knows, right? Erdene's like, damn, these guys seem pretty wasted, and it's only what, 10 p.m. Oh, now we see what time it is. And like, what on earth are they going on about? Poppy's like, oh, beats me, no idea. Pretending that she doesn't know. And you know, Quincy gets back, minor altercation, heart, smile, back to my pizzazzy self.
Yeah, he puts the mask back on.
And I immediately apologize. We're a little wasted. Sorry. Like, right? And it's like, I just thought that was funny.
Right.
Funny.
And meanwhile, how many glasses has he had since five? Like, how far in are we now? Well, I mean, between the, he started with five. Are we at six? Is there a drink now going on?
I didn't see him drink yet, but there's always time. And then Erdene's like, no shit, you guys need to puke it out. You'll feel better. And then Brian's like, puking is for the weak, ma'am.
I'm like, what? Ma'am.
Weird idea.
Ma'am. It's like, you know, it's just like proper ma'am.
No, it's so like,
that was my favorite part.
I was like, I needed that on a shirt with college.
Yeah, and they're like, and Damien's like, he's like, fuck, bro, that's disgusting. That shit's got to come out of somewhere. He's like, yeah, and it ain't going to be for my mouth. Like, they're just like arguing back and forth with each other, totally inappropriately in front of other people, by the way. Like, nobody wants to hear about this. Like, it's just not very pleasant to hear that kind of talk.
It's like, it's not appealing at all. Like, I can't even continue this conversation, you know, like, if you...
But it met all of the qualifications. It wasn't about the clan or violence.
True.
It's right up in there with the I'm a Sagittarius, and my favorite color is pink.
Oh boy, these little boys. help. Yeah, so Quincy is like, oh, you know, these gents will keep you entertained. Just cute again. He's calling them gentlemen. Their conversation afterwards does not display that. Like, I'm going to say hi to the club owner. And he goes over to the club owner, who looks like a dude, but these days we can't tell anymore because Cordy we thought was a dude also. And he's like, hey, pumpkin. Ugh, like, pumpkin, honey, sugar plum. Like, what's next? Like, you know, I don't know, apple pie. He's like, hey, how's business? Oh, I've seen better days, but aren't you stunning tonight? So, but you know, the funny thing is I first really did not like Cordy when I first saw her because of how she treated Quincy. But now I'm like, Quincy, get back to Cordy. What are you doing with this business owner? Even though Cordy, like he says, you know, Cordy is not, you know, into me. I'm still a bachelor. Like, Cordy is clearly not interested in a relationship at this point. But anyway, what did you guys think?
I've been team Cordy since the beginning. Love, love, love Cordy. But I didn't mind him talking to the owner. I feel like the relationship between Cordy and Quincy is non-existent. It's just a fuck buddy situation. So mm-hmm. I think he's free to do what he wants.
Yeah.
And I kind of am interested to see, like, is male, a female? What's going on here? What's up with Pumpkin?
Yeah. Yeah, same. And I actually thought it was, I guess, funny that he's like, oh, yeah, my friend owns this club. Blah, blah, blah. So it'd be good. We can rent out half of it. And like when he said that initially, I was thinking like, oh, it's one of Vincent's clubs. And he's just saying like, oh, my friend owns a club. Friend. So that's kind of me pulling my strings to like have that, you know, rent out half of it. But seeing here, it's like an actual person that's not Vincent. I was like, oh, there's an actual owner. And then you're calling them Pumpkin and they're calling you stunning. And I'll just like, I know we're talking, Mindy, you're saying if it's a guy or girl, like in the next panel when Poppy says, is he also Quincy's date? So I assume it's a guy.
Whoops. Thanks.
I was just like, I feel like I think Poppy there sipping my drink, like watching all these like random like side conversations. like sips tea. It's like, oh, okay, I see you, Quincy, over there. Like, okay, like.
Yeah.
I kind of got the impression that Quincy is, you know, a free man, like you said, Kelly, and also just like, sleeps around, you know, enjoys himself some company of whoever he feels like at the moment.
Equal opportunist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by this new character. You know, what's going to be his role? You know, is he going to cause any trouble? You know, what's this new arc? So, yeah, intrigued.
Yeah, I was
he
kind
may
of
not
assuming...
even have a role. He might just be the man of the hour.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought he was just going to be like a flyby. But who knows? We'll find out. I know Lily did say that it was hard work putting in all these characters, so I just want to extend a note of appreciation to Lily and all her background artists who worked their butt off for this. You know, we're sitting here enjoying it, but like they put in so much work. So
yes, they do. And I don't get tired of saying it. You know, episodes sometimes they get delayed, but the wait is always worth it. So, you know, chill.
Definitely.
And I'm usually reading it at like 2 a.m. anyway. So
yeah.
I feel like I'm like a very late person. So I'm like late with everything. So I'm like, oh my God. Like I can feel the anxiety of like having a million people waiting for you. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
At least whoever the fast passers, I don't know how many there are. I can deduce there's like 10,000 likes. So maybe something around that number. But yeah, very highly pressure situation.
Yeah.
So yeah, Poppy being Snoopy. Now she, interestingly enough, I thought this was very interesting. She said she's looking at the circle of like Damien, and Erdine and two other guys.
And Brian, I think.
And she feels cast out. She's like, hey, they cast me out in record-breaking time. And I was like, they didn't cast you out. You're like literally right there. And you were like looking away. Like, I think that's, and I think Darla was saying this, like, this is her self-perception. Like, I don't feel cast out. I'm like, you could just like, hey, hi guys. And just like join the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But she probably had this happen to her before.
Well, I think there is a panel where he's kind of
like they close the circle.
And I think there's a panel where he's kind of like, yeah, closes her out a little bit. Like she could have just slid over and still been part of it. But I think, like you said, her perception of they're already kind of throwing me out of it. She just kind of further backed herself away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think too, like Mindy, you mentioned that she's just kind of like distracted looking off to the side because like Erdine tells her like, hey, come join us. You can tell that she's like, you know, She is out of the circle, but I don't think it's because they are intentionally, maybe. They're just, like, talking, and she's just, like, wasn't talking. So she's just, like, there. And so it's, mm-hmm. like, she can jump back right. in if she wants to.
Yeah.
Or stay on the outside. So that was kind of how I picked it up.
Patty was noticing a parallel between both of them. Like, both Poppy and Tora are feeling kind of left out and awkward. But it's both a little self-inflicted. Like, they can both easily access conversation mm-hmm. and each other if they wanted to. And something, like, I always say I relate Malacha or Dean. Like, I don't relate to shyness at all. I'm, like, very outgoing, very gregarious. I'm, like, if I saw this circle, I'd be like, hi, everybody! Let me in! You know, like, I have no problem. I don't get this like, self-consciousness at all. But, like, I know a lot of people do. So, you know what? That might be also another reason that Tora and Poppy connect to each other. They may not be the most, like, outgoing people. Poppy's more than Tora, obviously, but I don't think they're, yeah. like...
I definitely relate to all of the awkwardness.
Yes, me too.
It's the worst. I probably would be in the corner just watching people.
I will probably, you know, just like, I'm very curious, so I would just like wander off and you know, check out the place and go and take a selfie with a fallen angel or something. But yeah, but you can,
you're like a cat.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes. That's my spirit animal. But yeah, you can see Poppy here, like, you know, like introvert kind of a like situation kicking into. So, you know, I think that's why they are kind of like attracted to each other. Like, she doesn't know how to kind of like talk to Tora right now, or she's like maybe oblivious, but then, you know, his struggle as well. So it's kind of like, you know, same situation for the both of them, different perspective.
You know, I actually didn't feel like she was that awkward in this sense. Like, I've kind of took it as like Poppy was, you know, purposefully not joining the conversation. Mm. And you can see her. She seems very content in herself. Like, she doesn't seem like, oh God, no one's talking to me. What do I do? Everyone's staring at me. Like, she's literally like, you know, smiling, drinking her drink. She's scrolling on her phone. She's like, oh, so-and-so would like this picture. We take pictures and share with them. Like, she seems totally fine. Which to me, I'm like, that's awesome. Because for myself, I think I would be wanting to like either be purposefully by myself, like sitting down, like you like mentioned, Kelly, or like in a conversation. Like, I don't know if I'd be just like great just standing off in the middle of the floor, sipping my drink, doing my own thing, like just on my own accord. Like, that to me, I'm like, that's great for her. Like, I don't think I could do that. But she doesn't seem like she's awkward at all. Like, she doesn't seem like, you know,
bothered by it or something.
Yeah she's like having a good time.
She seems almost kind of used to it, like, all right, well, now it's time to pull out my phone and entertain myself.
I think she's actually looking for Tora.
Yeah, like you said, she doesn't feel awkward about it.
Yeah, I also think that it looks like she's looking for Tora here, right? Because, you know, Ordine's like, oh, is she searching for someone? And Poppy is peering. And then she sees, and, you know, and by the way, Ordine is like, Poppy, oh, come join us, which is, you know, very nice of her. And a lot of people were like, you know, mad at Ordine a couple episodes ago for being pushy. And she's redeeming herself a lot because she's very concerned for Poppy and trying to bring her in and like really... you know, giving her attention and caring for her. But Poppy refuses. She's like, climb out. And, you know, and then Ordine catches sight of Tora behind her. She's like, okay, I got it. I know what you're doing. Like, I know why you don't want to be with us. Mm-hmm. She has this like conspiratorial matchmaker smile. She's like,
Just think, for me, it looks like Poppy is kind of like daydreaming. You know, it's just like, she's not there right now. You know, it's just like, because you can, I mean, Tora is right there next to her. It's really hard to miss, you know, this tank of a man. And I don't think that she was looking for him. Because a moment forward, she's like, oh, let me take pictures and send it to, you know, her cousin. So I don't think that she was looking for Tora. I don't know.
That's kind of how I took it, too. Like, she was kind of just looking around and taking everything in. And then she kind of sees stuff like, oh, this would be cool to take a picture of.
Yeah.
Let me send it. You know, just kind of... that thing, just having a moment to herself to take all of this in. Mm-hmm. And Ordine saw Tor lurking behind and kind of realized, oh, he's looking for Poppy and they're gonna have some alone time.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Smiled and backed off.
And yeah. Meanwhile, we have the most adorable conversation going on because the Thuglets are like, hey, it's this whole running conversation, you have to like go back and see it. He's like, hey Peaky, tell Ordine about the time you did that thing. He's like, oh really? And he's blushing. And then she's like, yeah, come on man, tell her. Yeah, she'll piss her pants laughing. You know, Ordine is like totally ignoring them at this point, but they're still having this conversation, and he's like, fuck, stop rushing me. I need to compose myself first. Adorable.
He's adorable.
He is. Like, shut the fuck up. I'm just shy, okay?
No, but it doesn't seem like... Yeah, he's just like, you know, it's just your butterfly.
Yeah, they have to, like, tell him. They're like, hey, your team, Damony has a joke to tell you. And then finally, like, I'm just scrolling through to get just the joke part. Because, oh, yeah. Well, okay, we finished that conversation. But I guess we'll continue with Erdene and Damian, because you see, like, just to keep down one topic, Erdene's like, does this like fingernail trail down his neck of the tattoos? And he's like, me? And like blushing. Okay, Erdene. We see ya. That's like, you're into him.
I don't know. I was gonna say, I was like, yeah, definitely. She's indicating she's interested. They're like, seem now like kind of off to the side a little bit, talking like to themselves. And so I think this is like everyone grabbing all the materials to build their ships, like literally already, like everyone has it in hand, buckets and like everything to like. Yep.
Yes, and then but we have all the Erdene Gayu shippers who are like, what?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like the famous meme, you know, it's like, wait, yeah, which one? Erdene and Gayu, or Erdene and Damian are like, both, why not both? And then the other, the hands putting together, Joey went up.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's just like Erdene seems like, you know, like a strong alpha, you know, female, and Gayu and Damian, they just, you know, these kind of like softy boys, so it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I like, you know, some fanfics about Erdene and Gayu, and I love, you know, like the art is so cute, I love it. But it's just like, you know, Erdene is too kind of like, you know, strong and kind of wild. I don't know.
I don't know. Probably.
That's how I see it too. Especially for Gayu, I feel like she's too much. Like, yeah. I mean, just kind of what we've seen so far. Maybe, Damian, possibly. If we have to see kind of a little bit more. Like, so right now he's like very shy.
He
might
have some. Well, he doesn't know what to say. He ran out of material that will meet the checklist. So
that's true. That's true. He's like, what do I say now? It's like, just staying here, I guess.
But yeah, I'm with you. I don't see her being with either of them, but we'll see, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we pan out to these two guys who we don't know yet, and I think they're just regular minor characters. They're like, dude, what's up with all these scary thugs? Looks like there's a massive clan gathering tonight. I thought this place is clan neutral territory, which is interesting. Like everyone's aware of the clan, you know, it's like very conscious of that. And he's like, I spent a fortune to get in. No way I'm leaving early. Yeah, I'm not leaving empty-handed. Check out those chicks over there. And like, if there's some kind of clan grouping, maybe we'll get lucky tonight. So, you know, they're doing what guys do. And they're checking out the girls. And then they're checking out Erdene. And like we said earlier, they call her a straight-up goddess. But she looks like she's with that bunch and not messing with those guys. And they're like, what about that one? Poppy, she's on her own. And Poppy's like, oh, wide-eyed, innocent, you know. They're like, well, a little too goody-two-shoes for my liking. But bet you she'll get spooked and start crying as soon as we talk to her. And then the other guy's like, well, I'm easy. I could take what I get. Okay. Whatever. You know, typical dude behavior, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, the club is actually, you know, it's full with people. And they, you know, they're just like standing there looking at Erdene and Poppy. It's just like, you guys are fucking lame.
So. Too far away. Can't make an effort to turn my head to see others. They're in my line of sight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're like, okay, let's go over. And meanwhile, Poppy is totally oblivious. She's like, I'll send some photos to Belle and Danny. And, you know, they're coming over. They don't know what they're about to get themselves into. And they're like, hey, sweetie.
And then totally you hear this voice, fuck off.
Yeah. And she still doesn't hear them. So we really see she is deaf.
Yes. She's like,
and then we see this body blocking.
Yeah. This tower of a man.
Yeah.
Jesus, okay, I'm gonna start fangirling here.
Yeah, and they're like, what the F? And their faces are in shadow. They're like, in his shadow. And Poppy's still oblivious. She still does not notice him or them. She's still tapping away. And then we have this like sideways view of like him, Tora, towering over them. They're like looking very wide-eyed and anxious. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh shit, and goodbye. And then this again, that panel of Tora, which we kind of seen their same perspective with in the pool club, there's that, and then there's the other one. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when she falls down outside the club, I think it's the same one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and just intimidating and large.
Don't you want to like kind of touch him like right there and then that panel? It's just like, I want to touch you.
So I have to say one thing. I say my husband is a sweetie, like I said, but he is 6'4" and he's huge and he's like has big broad shoulders. So I'm totally spoiled in that I have that. So like, I'm like, ah, Tora, 6'3", he's nothing.
Oh man, yeah. Must be nice.
That's
good. Well, I mean, I'm nice. I'm 5'3", so I think everybody else seems super tall for me from my perspective.
Same. 5'3", so everybody's taller than me.
Yeah.
Same.
Right. Yeah, although my husband is like a philosopher book kind of guy, so he does not work out at all. And I'm like, you would look so gorgeous if you worked out. I'm like, that's a perfect body. You're wasting it. But like, whatever. He theoretically wants to work out, but like he just works out his brain all the time. Which that's why I married him. So I can't complain. I didn't marry him for his looks. I married him for his brain. But anywho, whatever. So, so anyway, Poppy, again, totally oblivious. She's like, Jacob. And Jacob comes back and he's like, she's like, oh, you're not taking photos yet? Do you want to see? He's like, you bet. And Tora's like, again, like he's turned away from her. Like he's not even facing her. And then, but now he finally addresses her. And but does she even hear him? He's like, seriously, Bobby. And he looks back with a smirk and he's like, I leave your side for one, you know, for one damn minute. And this is such a cute smirk. I love it. And it's like nice because it's also like a little possessive and it's like, oh, Poppy, yeah. Like you're really mine. Besides for the how he behaves with the boys, but he's like telling her, you know, oh, like you're getting hit on because I left your side for a minute and like really belong with me. But does she, did she even hear him? She says, pardon me, but I think she's talking to Jacob.
Yeah, I don't think she heard. I don't think she heard him at all. And I was just like, Poppy, one, I feel like your peripheral vision is horrible. Go get your eyes checked. One, because I feel like if someone is standing that close to me, you notice. And then someone, especially if it's Tora, like this tall, right? Like, do you not notice this like leaving like shadow like next to you? So the first thing, get your peripheral vision checked. Like, please do.
You're gonna feel that energy. You know, you're gonna feel it. Even like with fucking ghosts, like you can feel them pass by to you. So you definitely will feel
him. Yes. And it's just like, girl, turn around, like listen, like but, just be aware of your surroundings, like something. But
does
no,
that
I don't
speak
think...
to how much he's blocking him? Like just that he's not even interested in me, he's not even an option for me. She's just kind of blocking him out completely and not even feeling his presence there.
Right.
Because like you said, he's literally close enough to breathe on her.
Yes.
So how can you not notice?
Right. And I think maybe also obviously the club is a very loud, stimulating place. So maybe like it's just too much to focus on. And Lily tells us she's overdue for an earwax cleaning. And she tells him that, you know, she tells Jacob, she's like, oh, you know, he's like, oh, not my best shots. And she's like, oh, sorry, can you repeat that? Too much earwax. And then it's like, my Nana has better hearing than you.
Yeah.
And yeah, and Tora's like just again looking at her now. Like, she's like, oh my God, this is like the second time I've tried to say something to her. And she like totally ignores me.
Yeah, but you know what? There's people like that. Actually, my husband is not that aware of his surroundings. You know, I'm always the paranoid, like, you know, always looking for an exit and always, you know, having in mind who's next to me, who's behind me. So probably Poppy is, you know, just like zero awareness of her surroundings and plus all, you know, that the loud noise and all that crap. So, yeah.
It's funny because I actually lost my hearing in my left ear almost 2 years ago. And ever since then, I cannot hear. If somebody's coming up on my left side, I don't hear them. I could totally be kidnapped on my left side. Okay? I don't hear anything. And like, and yeah, and especially, and if I'm in a room with more than one person talking, forget it. I can barely hear. I have to focus so hard. I cannot hear. So yeah, I can see like where you just literally cannot hear. So, but anywho, you know, they're talking about the picture, where's her Dean? She wanted a shot of that giant fallen statue. And she's like, yeah, I think I just spotted her over there. And what is her Dean doing? Her Dean's like, very consciously leaning over to put her butt in like Damien's face.
That reminded me of the whole, if you guys watch Legally Blonde, the Ben and Snap. Yes. Literally all I thought the whole time, Ben and Snap. Like I'm waiting for her to like sit up. That literally the whole time. That's all I thought.
Okay. Oh my gosh, love it. Damien looks so awkward. He's like looking down at her with this like anxious look, and then the next one he's looking away and his eyebrows are like this and he's sweating and blushing. You're like, oh my God, Damien, she has
actually
got you.
Yeah. the panel where Poppy and Jacob are looking, that they say over there, I mean, look at that angle. look at Erdina. Look at
he's me. Right
look
there.
At, look mm-hmm. at that angle. It's just like
hit. He wasn't ready for it.
Yep. Oh my god. Wasting no time. Damien, I want something from you and I'm showing you up.
Oh, he's so cute.
I know everyone on Patreon was like, we need some Damien, not safe for work. Like, Lily's like, yes, we do.
Kind of want to see that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm not into it. I'm maybe more into Quincy. Oh, okay. I'll tell you guys now. So I signed up for, one of the groups had this collab, like their, oh, I shouldn't, well, I'm trying to think. Anyway, I'm writing fanfic that involves Quincy. And let's just say, I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, so Quincy, I am interested in seeing Not Safe for Work Quincy. But yeah, they mean I'm not so into, but whatever. Listen, I mean, if it's there, I'll look at it.
I mean, why is this an either or? I don't know.
Exactly. All of it. Right, all of it. All the content.
More the better. Oh my god. By the way, my friends are like, one of my friends is dating someone, so we're like talking about it, and anyway, we're talking about looks, and we mainly talk about personality, but my friends were like, oh, maybe like you're into looks. I'm like, me into looks? And they're like, yeah, you're always talking about like sex and stuff. I'm like, honestly, guys, it's just because of Midnight Poppyland. Like, Midnight Poppyland has awakened a whole new thing in me. I'm like, really, really, it's about the insides. Like, I know a person is what they are inside, but like the whole lust and thirst on the outside, I'm like, that's just Midnight Poppyland, people.
We're not this bad in real life.
Yes, we understand that people are people and we have to appreciate them for who they are, and it's not about how they look.
Yeah,
most
yeah.
of the time.
It helps, but you know, it's not about that.
Yeah, but honestly, I mean, I actually am a big believer that like if you like somebody, they become beautiful to you, and like if somebody is gorgeous but a douchebag, like they're like ugly. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. really mm-hmm. their beauty does not mm-hmm. appeal anymore. Mm-hmm. Agree. So, anywho, so both of them are like laughing and they're like, I think she's ready to get some. Holy shit, that girl wastes no time. That's cute. Yeah, Erdine's the, I think, the most comfortable with her sexuality and forthright mm-hmm. and outgoing also. So then, and Jacob's like, anyway, and then he has that panicked Jacob expression. Poor guy. Tora always does this to him because Tora is leaning back and the pop is like, oblivious, don't know what you're talking about. But Jacob, kudos to him. He tells him, he's like, don't you have anything to say to Tora? And, you know, Tora is like an inch away from her and pretending that he's like, oh, I'm looking away in another direction. I really have no interest in Poppy, even though I'm like right behind her. So.
And like about to bite his bottom lip off. Yeah.
Right. It reminds me when I was like 13, we had a fire in our neighbor's house next door. And you know how like little kids are like obsessed with firemen because they're so strong and big and they have their uniform. So I remember like there was a group of firemen talking and I was like,
and she was fangirling in
the so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing. I was like following them, like wherever they were walking, I kind of like was following them next to me. And I remember them looking at me and kind of like laughing because they were like, you know, I was like a little kid. And anyway, I was like, totally. I was like, no, I'm not following them. I'm just happy to be standing next to them. It was so pathetic. So there you are, Tora. Like, I'm looking away. I'm not following you, Poppy, at all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's like literally standing right behind her. It's like the gaze of looking away, of like focus. And it's like you're like too big for anyone to ignore. Like you're not hiding behind someone. You're just like there's no hiding, right? Like you're the only person there. Like we see you. It is really funny.
We see you. We all people see Tora except for fucking Poppy. It's just like, you know, come on.
That's what I'm like. She's gotta be subconsciously like pushing him away and out of her mind, because how could you not notice it? He towers over everyone in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes sense.
And thank you, Jacob, for being a great wingman. And besides, for, and he picks up on Tora's agitation, I think, you know, mm-hmm. And that's why he tells her, don't you need to talk to him, like to somebody. So of course, Jacob being psychologically perceptive and like, yeah, I appreciate that, you know, like Tora's the guy who was like kind of teasing him at work, but he can read Tora, you know, better than oblivious Poppy, or who
doesn't. He's seen that agitated face enough times that he knows something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. It's only week one. So even though he might have said some oblivious comments before, he at least give him credit, like he can see this.
Mm-hmm. So I really want for next episode. I really want for Tora to tell Poppy, come here, you fucking little death hamster, and just yep. take her away and just, you know, like or whatever. I need a reward system right now. I need a cigarette.
And you need a supply closet in that club somewhere?
Nah, not supply closet. I mean, maybe, I don't know, a second level or something, like a balcony kind of. Oh, how about behind the falling angel? That would be a good place.
I love it, the angel.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, huh?
That's funny.
You know this is Poppy and Tora, not you and Tora, right?
Shit. She's doing it vicariously, okay? She's putting herself in Poppy's shoes.
Yeah, no, he will definitely, I mean, it's just, I guess, no way I could ignore that man. There's no way. So anyway, that's my take.
Well, since she's deaf, he'll have to, like, physically touch her to get her attention, guys.
Exactly. Right? I think he'll have a problem with that. I think he's okay with that.
I think everyone involved would be okay with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, he just has to grab her like a caveman, throw her in his shoulder, and, you know, take her, slap her ass, and, you know, just like whatever.
We see what M's fanfic would be now.
Right. Now we know. No.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I mean, at least finally there, I guess the ice is broken, I guess you could say, for them. And so at least now going into next week, we know that they'll actually have a conversation. Hopefully, like, finally, that there'll be something. Maybe interactions. Yeah. Conversation, interaction.
Interaction. There'll be some interaction. Okay,
interaction. Something like that, along those lines.
Good choice of words, people. Subtle.
Yeah, some similar interaction will happen.
Yeah.
I hope they break more than ice, so...
Oh my lord.
Are you referring to Poppy's virginity? This episode, I said they broke the ice. This one.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we did know
it is really early in the morning, Em.
It's never too early. Too early. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. And to think, we almost had 55, so I'm kind of scared.
Right? Same.
I don't know that we could have handled 55.
Well, I can send you the link for the next set.
Damien and...
sign up for.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I think I'll actually send you the link to the next set so you can sign up for the next thirsty... Maybe we'll get into some dangerous territory by then. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a dangerous situation. You can always make up something, you know?
Oh, hello. You guys are so turned on by violence. Hello, that will be best.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, sorry.
Oh, well, this was so much fun, guys.
It was.
I love it. I always end up with this, like, awesome, like, you know, I don't know, I started this podcast because I was like, I have to discuss this more with people. And like, I just love it. It's just so much fun every single time. It's just a great feeling of like fangirling with other people. It's wonderful.
And I always, you know, it's just like, honestly, like Patreon for me is just like, it feels like a safe place, you know, where I made great friends. And it's just like, you know, you get to talk about what you love. That is Midnight Poppyland. And obviously this fucking Greek god of a man. So, you know, it's just like, I love it. And, you know, I always like to, you know, express myself, but also being respectful, you know, of the other patrons as well.
Oh, yeah, because you edit the audio.
Oh, and go
like
ahead.
You totally volunteered. You asked me like, I don't know, a month ago. You're like, hey, can I edit the audio? I'm like, yes, please. Like, I'm just not doing it because I don't have time or patience. But, you know, kudos to you, like slowly going through each and every one and spending hours and hours and hours on it. So we are so grateful. And thank you so much, Emery. Big shout out to you.
Thank you. You know, I'm sorry that it's taken so long. As you all know, I work in a lab and with the COVID virus, you know, it's almost, I don't have time, but you know, it takes time to edit and I still have a million of episodes to edit. But honestly, it's a hobby I didn't know that I like. And I enjoy it so much. You know, I really enjoy doing this. So, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. I'm really grateful. Like, it's a big help. You know.
So, I'm glad you talked me into doing this.
Yes.
Same. Oh my God. Yeah. Same here. When you told me, when you're like, sign up and do this with me. I'm like, what? Like, I don't do.
I was, oh my God, I was so pushy. I was like, I didn't want to scream it in Patreon, you know, that I have like I made a Discord channel. It's just like, how do I get in touch with Kay? She's so fucking oblivious. She doesn't get it.
I'm like,
I was definitely Poppy in that situation. And I'm
yes.
Like, hey, how do I get in touch with you? I'm like, what?
Yeah. It was like, you know, I can't get in touch with this girl.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you guys came on, and I definitely hope you come on again because it was fantastic.
Yes.
So. I got the nerves out of the way, so I think I'm good for another one.
You seem fine, totally fine.
Yeah, it's not so bad once you guys do it. Remember, you're speaking to everyone who loves Midnight Poppyland. Like, you can't go wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And if you feel that's like true. You don't have what to say, just say Tora is hot and, like, you're good.
Oh, yeah. That always works.
Well, everyone will agree.
Right there. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, gals. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to see you guys.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. See you.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks a ton.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Nice seeing everyone.